If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 2. I believe this is part 5 of our series, Transform People with Renewed Minds. Transform People with Renewed Minds. You know, this morning when I got up, the Holy Spirit made mention to this to me this morning. And what I felt he said to say to you is that the transformation process that occurs, it occurs when we are born again. The transformation process occurs when we are born again. Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How many of you know John chapter 3? Jesus was having a conversation with one of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. And God told him that, Jesus told him, unless a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus replied, how can a man be born again? Must he re-enter into his mother's womb and be born? Now, how many of you know that's not right? That's silly. But Jesus says that one must be born of the water and of the spirit, meaning there's a natural birth as well as a spiritual birth. Because that which is born of the flesh is of the flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is of the spirit. So what Jesus was referring to was a spiritual birth. Amen? That all must be born again by the spirit in order to see the kingdom of God, more or less enter God's kingdom. So Paul says Romans chapter 1, verse 2, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And he says, dear brothers and sisters. Notice he includes everyone, brothers and sisters. It's not like, oh, the wife nudging the husband and say, hey, this is for you. Listen up. Or the wife, vice versa. Brothers and sisters, we're all included in this. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Now, if we spent the whole service on giving testimonies of all that God has done for you and me, we'll take up this whole service and hours and days to come, right? Everything that God has done for us. And he says, let them, or your bodies, be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. Notice he says, a living, holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is the true way to worship him. How we worship God? This is the true way we worship God, when we live our lives holy and acceptable unto God. See, the basis of living your life holy before God is how you live your life, the things that you do. The reason why I'm abstaining from these things is because I want to live a holy life. The reason why I'm saving myself for that person, because I want to live a holy life. The reason why I'm not going on the internet and going in there and looking at things that I'm not supposed to be looking at is because I want to live a holy life to God. Amen. My life is not committed to you, in a sense. I'm living my life unto God, who is holy. And this is the standards by which I live my life, not to please you, not to please you, but to please him. See, because wherever I am by myself, I know me and I know you. And I know what I can get into, the troubles I can get into. But if I commit my life to God, this is between him and I. It's not based on somebody watching my life and keeping tabs on my life. But it's God. And he says, verse 2, don't copy the behavior, the attitude, the ideology, the spirit, and the customs of this world. Or don't allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. We're different. You're different. Yeah? But let God, notice that, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Notice that. Husbands, Let God transform your wives. Wives, let God transform your husbands. You will never change your wife, and you will never change your husband. Man has been trying that for centuries, and it has not worked. But you bring God into the equation, God can change that person's life. Because he changes the heart.
Yeah. Amen.
Then you will learn to know God's will for you when your mind is renewed. That's when you'll know what God's will is for you. And it'll be the will of God will be good, it'll be acceptable, and it'll be perfect. You know, because sometimes we pray, hey, God, show me your will. And then God shows us his will. Oh, not that one, Lord. I like the other one.
Yeah.
The one I like. The one that fits. But when you renew your mind, the Bible says, then his will be acceptable. It'll be perfect. No matter what it is. Right? But it has to come from a frame of a renewed mind in order for God's will to be acceptable and perfect. And good. Other than that, it won't be good. Because what will happen is, God will tell you something, oh God, it's inconvenient right now, I cannot do it. But it's God's will for that moment, for you to speak to that individual. And you back off and say no. Why? Because your mind is not renewed. But what? God's will wants to be done now. You guys follow me? Yeah. But if you have a renewed mind, you do what God says that moment, despite of how you feel or what you don't have or what you have. It's all about God's will. But in order to know what God's perfect will is, my mind has to be renewed. I have to be changed. I have to align my thoughts the way that God thinks. Amen. See, the transformation process occurs, like I said, when we are born again. Paul says that in this text we've just read, that we can see the process of change begin. The moment we got born again, that transformation started taking place. And it continues by the renewing of our minds. Until we take on the image of God. Notice that as our minds begin to get renewed, we begin to take on the image of God. Genesis says that God made man in his image after his likeness, right?
Amen.
That God made us, he made man in his own image after his likeness. But this is my opinion. I believe a lot of Christians have a wrong image, which creates a wrong imagination of themselves, which stems from a false image of who God is. See, I know what the Word of God says. He created me in his image after his likeness. But my mind says, my mind doesn't compute that. Because I've had many false images of what people said about God. And therefore, I have a false image of who I am because of a false image of who God is. You guys follow me?
Yes.
Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, he says, casting down imaginations. And take casting down imaginations or images, false images, and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God or God's word or what you know about God, and taking every thought. What do you mean, Pastor? Every thought into captivity under the obedience of Christ. And that scripture talks about thoughts. It talks about your thinking. It has to do all about that. Amen. So our false image of God affects our image of how We see ourselves. And it has to do with our thoughts, the way that we think. Yeah. See, if I was to tell you, picture a dog, there'll be over 80 different pictures of a dog right now. But if I told you, picture a brown dog with a white spot on its chest, then everybody's cluing in. I'm being more specific, right? See how our thoughts work, our minds. But how many of you know you cannot think of two things at the same time? You can only think one thing at a time. So you can control your thoughts. So this morning, I want to entitle part 5, Change Your Life by Changing Your Life by Changing You. Let's see. Amen. Everybody smile. Praise God. We're having fun this morning. You know, this morning I woke up, I've had this pain in my right shoulder for months. And the Holy Spirit said, how long are you going to tolerate that? Because some of us, we just tolerate things. We just put up with it. And yet we don't draw from our covenant that God has already made provisions for us to deal with these issues in our lives. You know, we just deal with it. We just tolerate things. And the Holy Spirit says, how long are you going to tolerate with that pain in your shoulder? Because I can tolerate pain quite good. You know. So I says, well, since you're asking, I might as well deal with this issue then. He says, yeah, why don't you do that? It's all about renewing your mind. That's what it is. So I just said, Jesus, just heal my pain right here. And you know what? The pain was gone. Of 3 months of pain in my shoulder, just tolerating it. And then just like that, he does it.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Glory to God.
It's that easy. Because I agree with it. I believe it. I believe he is and he can. But yet if I tolerate with that issue, then he won't. Because he wants to bring you to a place like, hey, this is what's happening. Are you going to put up with it or are you going to deal with it? So if you got pain in your body right now, just raise your hand if you got pain in your body. Let me see your hands. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just release your anointing. I rebuke that spirit of infirmity. Our faith is in God. Jesus, you're the healer. So, Lord, I just pray that you touch these individuals, these families. In Jesus' name. You said that you would accompany signs and following with your word. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to talk about controlling how to change your life by changing your thoughts. How many of you know that God is more interested in changing your mind than he is in changing your circumstances?
Amen.
You know, we all want God to change our circumstances. We all want him to take away our problems, our sorrows, our sicknesses, our trials. We want him to take all these things away. And you know, God will and he can. But God is more concerned of what's really going on in the inside of you. He says, I'm far more interested in changing your mind before I change your circumstances. Because nothing happens in your life until the renewing of your mind occurs. No transformation, no change takes place, no transformation takes place in your mind or in your life until your thoughts begins to change. Amen. Now, why is it important I learn how to manage or control my mind or my thoughts? And how do I have a healthy mind? Amen. Someone said, I think Pastor Lockie said that at the resurrection service, he says, a happy wife is a happy life. And the men say, all the men say, but now, how about this one? A healthy mind, a healthy life. Amen. How's that? Like we say, more better, yeah? So why is it so important to manage your thoughts or manage your thought life? I want to give you three reasons why it's important that we manage or control our thoughts, our thought life. Number one, because my thoughts control my life. Everybody repeat after me. My thoughts, controls my life. Yeah, it does. You know, every single action always begins with a thought. If you don't think it, you don't do it. Now, that can be both good and bad. If you don't think it, you don't do it, right? Now, if it's good, you're going to do good. Now, if it's a bad thought, you're going to do bad. How simple is that? Well, like they say, yeah, it's easier said than done. Nonetheless, your thoughts and my thoughts control our lives. It definitely does. You know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, verses 32, Jesus says, therefore, take no thought, saying, notice that, he says, take no thought. Now, what is he saying, take no thought? The way that you know that you take a thought is when you begin to think about it, you begin to talk about it, and then you begin to act on it. That's when you know that you've taken a thought. When you begin to think about it, you begin to speak it, and then you begin to actually live it out. That's when you know, whether good or bad, you've taken the thought. So now Jesus says, take no thought about you, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to wear. He says, don't think about that. Don't take that thought. Right? Amen. And then 32, he says, for all these things do the Gentiles, or those without a covenant, that's what they seek for every single day. But he says, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. What are those things? The things you're going to eat, drink, wear. Father already knows those things. He's going to provide for you those things. So don't think about it. Don't worry about it. Amen. Amen. And then he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that we're thinking about, shall be added unto you. Jesus is teaching us about how not to worry. How not to stress out. In verse 31, the New Living Translation says, don't worry about these things. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Verse 32, he says, these are things that dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. It shouldn't dominate the thoughts of believers, but it does dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, because they don't have a covenant. They have no clue of who God, our Heavenly Father, is. But we do. Amen. So what he's saying is, don't let these thoughts dominate you just like how the Gentiles do. Don't take those thoughts. Amen. Jesus knew that your thoughts can control your life. I didn't hear an amen. I'm waiting for an amen. Okay. Where's my amen, Connor?
Amen.
Okay. And besides living life, how many of you, living life is more than just about food, drink, and what you're going to wear? In fact, Paul tells us the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. These are things that are spiritual things. These are things that money cannot buy. But these are things that are going to help you in your spiritual health, your spiritual well-being, right? Life, joy, peace in the Holy Spirit. Man, you cannot buy peace. You can buy a piece of the real estate, but you never buy peace of mind. So he begins to prioritize these things. See, if we worry, what he was saying, if we worry and have anxious thoughts, we'll be anxious people worrying. How simple is that? If we have anxious thoughts of worrying, we'll be people with anxious thoughts worrying. Because what we think about will be the predominant thing that is on our mind. Worry, to me, worry is a waste of time. It's a waste of your time, and it's a waste of my time. Because worry rehearses the problem with no solutions. And therefore, it's a waste of time. It's like a rocking chair. All this movement, but going nowhere. Amen? Now, in saying that, I need to say this. There's a big difference between worry and being concerned. Well, let me elaborate. A worried person sees problems. A concerned person solves problems. How many concerned people that solve problems here today? We're problem solvers. All right. Turn to the person next to you. Don't worry, be happy. No stress here. Now, to live more and to worry less, we must think. How many of you know God gave us a brain to think? Yeah? We must think rightly on the right things at the right time, on the right wavelengths, tuned into the frequency of God's truth. You ever had those old radios where you got to tune in and trying to find a frequency? You know, it has all that squelch, you know, and then finally you find one, then you got to, you know, move them around. Yeah, if our thoughts are cluttered, yeah, we got to tune into the frequency of God's word so that we can have clarity in the way that we think. We can think straight. We can think right. Because our thoughts control our life. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, I'm reading from the Today's English Version. It says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Or that word shape means to mold or transform the way you think. You know, people say, well, I was just thinking it. No problem, right? I'm just thinking it. Well, we don't realize how important your thoughts are. The Bible says that your mind, your thoughts, has tremendous power and is able to shape your life either for the good or for the bad.
Amen.
Now, the thing is, if you've accepted a thought, if somebody told you growing up as a kid, you're worthless, you're ugly, you're dumb, you won't make it, you're worthless. And if you've accepted that thought, whether it was true or not, right or wrong, it shaped your life. How many of you can say amen?
Amen.
It shaped your life. You know, I've been volunteering at the Maui Correctional Facility for over 26, 27 years. You know, we do church services, we do water baptism, I do communions, I do also one-on-one counseling with some of the men who are incarcerated, provide ministry for them. This is my own personal opinion, and what I've come to find out that there are brothers and sisters in Christ who are incarcerated in our prison system because of definitely making wrong choices. All right? Criminal acts. And as the saying goes, don't do the crime if you can't do the time, right? But I also believe also that there are some in our prison system, could be more, that are incarcerated not only because of making wrong choices, but because of what I call negative prophetic words that were spoken over their lives. And maybe you might be one of them here too, that negative words that were spoken over your life as well. And those negative words shaped and framed your belief system. You're going to be just like your father, a low-life, worthless bum, an alcoholic, a drug addict, a drug dealer. You're going to be just like your mother, sleeping around and fooling around. These are negative words. And these are negative words that shape and frame our thoughts, our belief system. In fact, Mark 11:22, it says, you shall have whatever you say if you believe, whether in the positive aspect or in the negative aspect. If you believe it, you can have it. I'm trying to teach you something this morning. You guys follow me? And then these negative words, these negative prophetic words are spoken. And a few years later, those words that are spoken over them, over you, shapes their belief and their mind. And it comes to pass. Hey, mom, hey, dad, look, here I am. Thank you. Now, I'm not putting all the blame on that, but we have choices. But yet, words have power, whether they're positive words of faith or negative words. See, if negative words can affect and infect you in a negative way, spoken words, which does, how much more will God's word, words of faith, calling those things which be not as though they are, spoken and unconfessed over your children and over your life on a daily basis will change your life. It will. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Meaning whatever you speak, that's the fruit you'll have. And that's the fruit you'll enjoy. You see, spoken words coming out of your mouth, my mouth, whether positive or negative, has tremendous power. So we must make the choice of choosing life by speaking and confessing God's word, words of life, words of faith, over your kids and over your life. Amen. Everybody say, my thoughts,
my thoughts
controls my life. See, it matters how you think. It does. It matters how you think because my thoughts, your thoughts, affects, shapes, molds what I believe. So it matters what you believe. You know, as human beings, we're always interested in our feelings. How many of you know your feelings don't shape your life? They fluctuate, they go up, they go down, right? They vacillate up and down. And your feelings is the worst barometer in how to steer where you are in life because of it. It's not stable. But your belief shapes your life. What you believe shapes your life. Your belief shapes your life, and it doesn't necessarily have to be true. It can be a false belief, but it'll shape your life if you receive it. You know, a lot of us kids were taught, which weren't true later, years later, you know, we've taught a lot of things, yet we're still acting on the fact of those things that we believe when we're little kids. Yeah. So Paul says, be transformed by the way you think, because your thoughts controls your life, both good and bad. You know, when I was studying this out, I was thinking about some of the things that I learned growing up, whether from family members or whoever, next door neighbors. Hey, you cannot whistle nighttime. Hey, you shouldn't sweep the rubbish out the front door. Hey, you cannot take bananas when you go fishing. Hey, you cannot take pork on the Pali Highway. You know, all these things. And you still have people driving and doing those things still now. Now, me, I whistle all night. I take pork on the poly.
Yeah, that's right.
Go ahead, make my day, devil. Because I don't believe those things no more. But I used to. And it affected the way I thought. But it doesn't no more. Be transformed. Hey, I like that. Check out all that gadgets, yeah? Is you guys' minds going like that right now? So number one, my thoughts control my life. Number two. Oh, we're doing good on time. I need to manage my mind because my mind is the battleground for sin. This is where the battleground occurs. How many of you know that you have control over your mind and your thoughts that you think? You do. Your mind, my mind, is where we win or we lose the battle. You know, David made this statement in Psalms. I can't remember the Psalms. He says, Lord, deliver me from the fear of my enemies. Notice that. He hasn't, because if God doesn't deliver him from the fear of his enemies, when his enemy shows up, I mean, he's going to run. I mean, a lot of the fears that we experience is not things that has occurred. You know, these are things that hasn't occurred, but yet that fear holds us back. You know, what ifs? You know, what if my boss says, you know, not responding to what my boss is? We have all these things going on in our heads, the what ifs. And yet it's not even occurring. It's not even happening. And then when the whole story comes around, it's not played out that way. And here we're stressing out over all these things, and it's not even God's plan. And we work ourselves up for nothing. It's like the cat chasing its tail, round and round and round. And you go, wow, why did I do that? Because it just started with a thought. And we get all this wasted energy, all this stress, all this anxiety for nothing. Because it all operated in here. It all started in your thought, the what ifs. So we do have control of our thoughts. And the battle is either won or lost right here between our ears. In fact, all temptation begins in the mind. We think sometimes temptation happens out there. Temptation is all external. It's always outwardly that is tempting me. But it wouldn't be a temptation to you if it wasn't a correlating desire in you. In here, the thought, See, that temptation wouldn't be a correlation to that desire if it wasn't here in the first place. See, if it wasn't in your mind in the first place, then nothing on the exterior would be a temptation to you. Yeah, temptation is not all external, all out here. It starts right here. Now, if you see something that you ought not to see, and you take that thought, and you don't deal with that thought, yeah. How many of you know if you give the devil a foothold and you don't deal with that foothold, he'll make a stronghold in your life. And it all starts with a thought. See, every action, every temptation, if it's not dealt with, it all begins with a thought, a suggestion. The devil can suggest things and suggest things to you. But like Jesus says, take no thought. Deal with that thought here, and you always win.
Amen.
If you don't, he'll take you down right in here. All temptation happens in your mind, right between your two ears. Therefore, as a result, sin happens in your mind. You know, when we talk about the sin of pride, of lust, of bitterness, hatred, anger, fear, resentment, worry, what are those things? They're all in our mind. The battle is in your mind. If you can learn how to manage your mind, your thought life, you learn how to manage your life. You learn how to govern or control your thoughts. Paul makes this statement. He says in Romans chapter 7, I love Paul. Romans chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Paul makes this statement. He says, I have discovered this principle in life. Notice that a principle is a very important thing. He says, I've discovered this principle in life that when I want to do is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Notice that. Man, I want to do right, but I always end up doing wrong. Why is that? Verse 22, he says, I love God. I love God's law. I love his word with all my heart. But there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. He says, man, I love God. I love his word. But there's another power I realize that is working in my mind, my thought life. And this power makes me a slave to sin. You remember last time I ministered, I gave you the different components of a person, right? The spirit, soul, and the body, right? You guys remember that? Yeah. How that your flesh or your body, you know, man is tripart. Or man is, tripart, three parts. You are spirit. You are spirit. You have a soul, which consists of your mind, will, and your emotions, and you have a body, right? Remember I told you guys that when you become born again, your spirit becomes alive, your spirit becomes born again, your spirit man, and your spirit man is the one who communicates with the Lord and communicates with the Holy Spirit, and then your body is your flesh, which is ruled by its feelings, you know? The body operates with the five senses, keeps you connected to this world, this natural world, and then your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, your mind, which is your thoughts, how you reason things out, what you think about is your mind. Your emotions deals with your feelings, all your feelings of anger, feelings of joy, and then your will. Your decisions that you make, the choices that you make, it's all in your soul realm, your soulish realm, or let's put it this way, your mental realm. You have your spiritual realm, your soulish realm, which is your mental realm, and then your physical realm. And Paul says, there's a part of me that loves God, man. My spirit loves God. I love his word. But there's another part of my whole makeup is at work too. my flesh, my carnal nature, that always want to do wrong. He goes opposite of what God wants for me. And there's this battle that goes on. It goes on right in your soul realm. Your soul man is the one, is the determining factor that connects your flesh to your spirit. And this soul man is the one who's having to make the decision. Do I go this way or do I go this way? Let's put it this way. Whichever animal you feed most is the one that's going to dominate your life. How simple is that? You feed your spirit man will always dominate with the Holy Spirit. You cater to your flesh and its impulses and its desires, then that part is going to rule your life. Pretty simple. And this is what Paul is telling us. He's telling, man, this thing is alive. I mean, some of you right now, you can be in service, and all of a sudden this ungodly thought comes in your mind. It's like, where in the world did that come from? I'm in church. How dare? It's your flesh. That's why Paul says, I am crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ Jesus who liveth in me. What he's saying is, man, I got to crucify Paul. I got to crucify my flesh. I got to have a funeral service for Paul every single day. If not, he's going to pop his head up. He's going to act up. You guys learning something? I'm learning something too. Amen. We're all learning together. So I discovered the principle in my life that when I want to do right, I am inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law, his word, with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind, and this power makes me a slave to sin. What Paul was saying is, in my mind, I want to be God's servant, but in my mind, I'm fine. I'm still a servant to sin. I think we all can identify with that. There's a battle in your mind and my mind, and I think that's why we sometimes get mentally fatigued, because there's a battle, continuous battle in our mind. And sometimes we're conscious about it, and sometimes we're not. But this battle goes on 24/7 in your life, in my life. Now understand that your brain, your mind, is your greatest asset. It is. And that's why Satan wants to control your mind through suggestions. And that's why the world wants to influence your mind. Why? Because whatever gets your attention gets you. What supposedly be a distraction becomes an attraction. If you think about it long enough, the very thing that's supposed to be a distraction in our lives, if we give it place, and we you know, just like Eve. Eve was in the garden, and she was looking at this fruit. The fruit that God says, do not eat. And the more she thought about it, this was a distraction. The more she looked at it, it became an attraction. It began to entice her, and the devil was right there shooting suggestions. Had God said? Putting doubts in her thought life, in her thinking. Not realizing that she already had eternal life. She already had everything that God said she could have. Is God holding out on me? No, she had everything. And yet the devil convinced her that if she ate the fruit, you could be just like God. And she didn't realize she was already like God. Made in his image, his likeness. She entertained that thought. Don't ever let the devil entertain your thought. Because if he can get your attraction, then he's got you. Number three, I need to manage my mind because my mind is key to peace and life or my mind is peace or life or happiness. Everybody looking for the happy pill. I need a happy pill so I can be happy. God is saying if you manage your mind, you can have peace in life. You don't need a pill to be happy. You know, if I manage my mind, it'll be key to my happiness. Sometimes happiness, you know, sometimes happiness is not just about making more money. Sometimes happiness is not all these exterior things that we think might bring happiness. And having all the toys. But an unmanaged mind, what is this? Let's see. An unmanaged mind leads to tension. An unmanaged mind leads to tension. A managed mind, a mind that is renewed, a managed mind that you control your thoughts, a managed mind leads to tranquility. An unmanaged mind leads to pressure. A managed mind leads to peace. An unmanaged mind leads to conflict and chaos. A managed mind leads to confidence. An unmanaged mind leads to stress. You know, if you don't control your thoughts, you'll experience stress. A managed mind leads to strength, leads to security, and leads to serenity when you manage your thoughts. And it's based on what the Word of God says. Paul says in Romans chapter 8:6, he says, if your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. What is death? The opposite of life. See, if your sinful nature controls your life, there's death. There's not going to be life. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. Amen. So Paul says, walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. Those are two different things. To walk in the Spirit is to follow the Word of God. To live in the Spirit is to allow the Holy Spirit to control and motivate your thoughts, your actions, and your deeds. Your life is being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And in order for the Holy Spirit to control your life, you have to live a life of yieldness to the Holy Spirit. See, when you drive over here, you see the sign yield. What you're doing is you're yielding your right and allowing somebody to go. You're purposely yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, show me. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, filter my thoughts. Help me filter my thoughts. Yeah? So if your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and there is peace. Now, let's look at three choices that we must make on a daily basis in order to have a healthy mind. How many of you want a healthy mind? A healthy mind is a renewed mind. And the greatest need in the body of Christ is to have a renewed mind. The greatest need for an unsaved person is to receive salvation through Jesus Christ. That's their greatest need. But the greatest need as a believer, a Christian, is to have his or her mind renewed. You know, a lot of people realize we cannot control our thoughts. Most think they can't. But, you know, we can control our thoughts. In fact, nobody else can control our thoughts. That's right. Satan cannot control your thoughts. He can put suggestions in there, but he cannot control your thoughts. Only you and I can control our thoughts. How many of you know God's not going to control your thoughts? It's your thoughts. It's your brain. God's not going to control your thoughts either. You see, if you have depressed thoughts, insecure thoughts, fearful thoughts, if you have thoughts of loneliness, depressed thoughts. It's not going to help you by asking God, God, please remove these thoughts from me. It's not going to help. God's not going to take away those thoughts from you. You know what God's going to say? It's your mind, it's your brain, you deal with it. But now he can show us how to deal with these thoughts through his word. But he's not going to do it for you, he's not going to do it for me. The Bible says he keeps us in perfect peace, whose mind or whose thoughts are stayed on him. Isaiah 26:3. Whose minds are stayed on him, whose thoughts are stayed on him, because we trust in him. Yeah. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind or sound thoughts. I shared this scripture earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Notice that. Every thought. Every thought that exalted itself over the knowledge of God. I got to bring that down, man. I have to do it. You have to do it. Everything that does not agree with the word of God, if God says he will supply all my needs, and there's a thought that says you ain't going to make it, that's a high thought because it goes against what the word of God says. Now, for you, you know, if somebody comes and says, man, thank God you're utilizing your gift for God and you're doing this for the Lord, and you go, oh, it's not me. That's a high thought. Because God says, you know, to use your supply and be a gift to the body of Christ. You know, sometimes we think lowly of ourselves. But a high thought is what a high thought or a high thing is something that disagrees with what God says about you. If God says you can do all things through Christ and you say, man, I cannot do this, then that's a high thought. And that thing needs to be taken down. Because what it does, it is going to paint a picture, a wrong image of yourself and how you see God. See, this morning when I wake up and spend time with Jesus is still on the throne in victory. It's already done. It's already done. His victory is our victory. And we are called to perpetuate that victory that Jesus has already won for us. We're not trying to get the victory. We're celebrating from a place of victory.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
So every day, it's a victorious day.
That's right.
So casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing, so that the anointing can destroy those thoughts. You know, we have to manage and take control of our thoughts. What we need to do is stop listening to ourselves and start talking to ourselves. How? Preach the word to yourself. Confess the word to yourself. Lecture yourself about what God says about you. Every place in the Bible, especially in the Paul's letters, in Christ, put yourself in there. Yeah. If any man, if Herman be in Christ, he's a new creation. Herman can do all things to Christ. Put your name in there. Amen. Identify yourself with Christ because Christ identifies himself with you.
Yeah. Amen.
You're an heir and joint heir in Christ. Everything that Christ has belongs to you. Mm-hmm. He says we have access to his name. He identifies with us. So put yourself in Christ, that I'm seated in heavenly places. Irvin is seated in heavenly places in Christ. This is where I am. This is my position. This is my authority. Because that's what God says.
Amen.
We need to exhort ourselves. Start practicing. We need to start practicing. How many of you know you practice when you play sports? You practice. Practice makes perfect. We got to practice how to think. Because some of us are not thinking right.
Amen.
We're so loosey-goosey on our thinking.
That's true.
And this is the year of revelation that will bring transformation in Faith Family Maui. Of who Jesus is. Because when we begin to realize who Christ is, we begin to realize who we are. If he's victorious, I'm victorious. If he's provided healing, I'm already healed. If he's blessed, I'm blessed. Everything that he has, I have. I'm not trying to obtain it. I have it now. And we got to grow in that revelation. God loves me. God loves you. You know? And sometimes you don't feel loved. But it's not based on our feelings. If God says, I love you, he loves me. God, grow me in that revelation of your love. That has already been poured out in my heart by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to close with this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Thank you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Paul the apostle gives us the prescription for thinking right. He tells us what to think on. Oh, Pastor, what am I going to think about? Well, now I'm going to tell you what you think about. I love that song. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he healed me. How it goes, Michelle? How he healed me, how he saved me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost. When I think about the Lord, amen. How many of you know, as you think about the Lord, how many of you are on God's mind every single day? How many of you know God is thinking about you every single day? I don't know how he does it, but he does it. That's why he's omnis. He's omnipotent, omnipresent. He can be everywhere at the same time. But you are in his thoughts every single day. Where can you go from my presence? You go to heaven, I'm there. You go to hell, I'm there. Wherever you are, I'm there. I am. I'm the God that was way before the beginning. The God that even existed when the thought of beginning. I am. And Paul says, finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever is true, God is good and his word is true. His word is true. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Therefore, the Son of God has set you free. You shall be free indeed. Dwell on the truth, man. Dwell on the truth. We've been spoken too much lies. And you've heard this said before in this church. If the devil's mouth is moving, he's lying. If he's flapping his jaw, he's lying. Don't give him the hand. Don't give him the time of day. Don't say, wait, what you said? He's got nothing to say to you. He's got nothing to say to me. He's lying, I tell you. He's lying. And he's been lying too long enough. And what will combat lies is the truth. In fact, I think what James says, my prayer is that my children walk in truth. It's my prayer that my children walk in truth. Yeah. And God wants us, his children, to walk in truth, to walk in the light. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Whatever is noble, whatever is right. You know, in order to think right, in order to act right, we've got to think right. And that right comes from our right standing with God in right relationship with him. What I say is, porno. Porno is more than just doing right. Porno is doing right considered in God's standard, your righteousness or right standing with him. Because the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. So everybody has their opinion of what right is. But when you bring God into the equation, man, it blows that whole thing away. Because now we're thinking on God's standard of what is right and what is righteousness. Because we can have 80 different opinions of what is right. I mean, you watch the news. Watch the news. We're right. No, we're right. Enough. Off. Turn them off. This guy's saying we're right. This guy's saying we're right. Yikes. God's right. That's the only one. God's right. Anything that is not done out of his right standing or righteousness as God is wrong. You know, there's good ideas, there's great ideas, there's excellent ideas, but there's God ideas. Yeah, I want God ideas. So we're going to close right here. Well, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, that this is the year we're all walking in it of revelation, revealed knowledge to your word. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for anointing our eyes with eyes have that we can see the truth of your word, yes, and that you can unveil it just like you rented the veil, and that we're no longer blinded or so that we can be blindsided. But your truth will set us free every single time. Yes. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you lead our lives, you guide our lives, and continue to strengthen us and lead us into the way of life. For you said you will lead us into the paths of life, where there's fullness of joy, fullness of peace, fullness of your presence, of your person. And we just thank you, Holy Spirit, as you begin to speak to us. And the process continue. We allow you to work into our daily life, and that we apply ourselves on a daily basis to your word, Father. As your word says, Lord, that thou shalt meditate therein day and night on your word, Father, that we will observe to do all that is written therein, then we will have success and prosper and have success as we observe your word and meditate on your word day and night. So, Lord, we thank you for giving us the answers that we need to be able to transform and change the way we think. And, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, that you give us the strength to control our thoughts and manage our thoughts, that we can think like you, Lord. And when we think like you, we act right, and we can believe right, and we can obtain the promises of God because we're asking right in everything. So, Father, we bless your people today. We acknowledge your presence here. We love you, Jesus. And everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.